theme song!
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
This is Pat Patterson.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world.
How you know?
I love kickball.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. If you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much. We're so happy you're with us tonight. We have a ton of stuff. I'm not going to mince words. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. He's Rock. It's SummerSlam week. Holy crap, dude.
Wow, I didn't even get a fancy intro. Okay, we must have a lot to get to because she's not just wasting no time whatsoever. You can join
us. He's the handyman co-host producer guy. Better?
Producer guy. Yes, you can interact with us live at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, or at Lindsay Ward on the Twitter. Join the chat rooms at the places she mentioned. At the top of the program, and oh boy, does the news keep on coming in. As the show just sort of went, we have a little bit, we're going to focus heavy on things, and then wait, nope. This just in, something else happened.
Things happened, bodies hit the floor in a big way. Is it wrong to admit that I have that song on my phone?
No, I love this song.
I love this song, too. I was, like, kind of rocking out to it as we were coming in. It's because it's been a while since I've actually listened to it, even though I have it. It's like, oh, I haven't heard this in forever. It's awesome.
It's one of the better theme songs they've ever sort of
used. Yeah.
Like, it was used for, like, the Alliance and stuff like that. But then it became, it was, like, the SummerSlam theme for that year. And, yeah. Go ahead.
There was this stretch in, like, the early 2000s where they picked really good music.
They did. I was trying to find the alternate version of this song, but I can't seem to find it. Oh, well.
Yeah, I can't help you there, but we'll get to SummerSlam a little bit later in the show. We're going to go right into the news, brought to our friends over at Gerwick.net and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans.
Hold on. I think I found it.
Let the boobies hit the floor!
The Chris Jericho stuff. Classic. Like, I have this whole pack of themes, and it's like, here's the alternate version. Let the boobies hit the floor. It's a rack, you know, might as well play it. Anyway, let's get
to it. It's appropriate.
It is appropriate. for especially what we're about to talk about now, presented by Gartwork.net and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. Let's get into the news.
We are talking about the biggest stories, and they all coincide, of the week. And that is that WWE announced right after their conference call yesterday, way to go, Hunter, way to plan that, that Alberto Del Rio and Paige have both been suspended for drug violations, or I should say wellness violations, because we don't actually know if it was drugs, but it was wellness violation. And then this afternoon, it got announced that Eva Marie, of all people, got suspended for a wellness violation as well. So that's three suspensions over the course of 2 days. Not even 2 days, I think like 24 hours.
Technically, they all started today.
They all started today. Paige's came on her birthday, which kind of sucks, which really sucks.
So it started with Del Rio. Okay, well, it's like, okay, it's Del Rio. Okay, I can see that.
Well, I can see it, but I can't see it. And we actually sat here last night trying to figure out what else he had been suspended for. Because we remembered, or I remembered him being suspended for something. And it was not slapping the staff member. It was something else other than that. At least as far as I can remember. So if you know, put it in the chat room over at wildtalkradio.com and let us know. But the fact that Paige got suspended.
Yeah.
I just need to talk about that. We'll get to Eve in a minute.
Let's start with Paige. Yeah, go with Paige.
Honey, it's like Del Rio and Paige get suspended together. You know what? Whatever it was, they were doing it together.
That's a very evident thing. They're a couple. Make no mistake about it, they are a couple. And it's one of those things where it's like the two of them been together a lot, and think, you put two and two together, goes, that makes sense. What it was, we have no idea.
Yeah, that hasn't come out yet. It's probably going to take a week or two for that to hit the airwaves, but yeah, they both got suspended same day together, so it's, you know, again, they're dating, so they were probably taking the same thing. I did just, the fact that Paige got suspended, she's the first diva to get a wellness violation is really kind of disappointing. Like, I get Paige is hurting because she does have injuries. I get she's not happy with her position. But I feel like a lot of this started, at least in terms of the unhappiness, maybe this is just the first we've heard of it, with Alberto Del Rio, when she started seeing him.
We reported a couple months ago there was an incident in Las Vegas, right?
Right.
Involving Paige and Del Rio, and you just sort of, it made you question things. It made you wonder. And it's always been in the back of my mind. Well, you know, he was married and then got broken, I guess separated, or he has kids, or whatever. He had another person in his life, and this is sort of, Paige seemed like sort of a rebound for him. Kind of. And you always heard about Del Rio's attitude. He's never always had the greatest of attitude. And to me, and this might just be me, thinking out loud, it seems like he's a very bad influence on her. And I could be totally, totally wrong. But it just feels that way.
It feels that way because she credits him with basically bringing balance to her life. She's apparently super happy. She put this out on her Instagram because, like, first she deleted all the pictures of them off her Instagram, and then she put this statement out saying basically that she was really happy and, you know, he had brought this balance to her life and she was so grateful. So there's something not quite right going on there. I would have to just from the outside, again, this is all speculation. We don't actually know what goes on in their relationship. You know, would we? At least till Total Divas comes out. Ding! But it's just, yeah, it's like a lot of these problems have like been seemingly starting with Del Rio and Paige getting together. And now it's kind of one of those things where she's got a wellness policy violation on her. You only get three.
And there's been a lot of speculation that Del Rio's contract could be coming up. He has an out clause, apparently, since he came back in October, so I think there's an out clause around there. There's talk that Paige may go with him. Again, all rumored speculation, but those are the stories that hit the interwebs, and when the story hits the interwebs, we sort of pay attention to it and sort of put it in the back of our heads. It could be a thing. I don't want to see Paige go. I think it would be a bad career decision for her to leave with Alberto Del Rio if he chooses to leave the WWE. In October.
It would be a mistake on her part because they've put a lot of effort into her to make her a star. I know it doesn't feel like it lately, but it's like she was the first ever NXT Women's Champion. She was the first woman to ever co-hold the NXT and the Divas title. She was pushed hard from the second she debuted on Monday Night Raw. they basically did everything they could to make her into a star. They put her on Total Divas, you know, a lot of different opportunities for her. And it's like, if she's going to leave with Del Rio to show solidarity, it's like, okay, fine, that's going to happen. You really can't stop her. But she's 24. Happy birthday to her. By the way, it was yesterday. Put that in. Ha!
You've mentioned it twice, by the way, so far in the segment.
Well, you know, gotta get it in there. Gotta get it in there as much as possible. Beat that dead horse. But, where was I? She's 24. Okay. Del Rio's in his late 30s. So Del Rio's career is probably starting to wind down. He's looking to get that one major less payday with WWE, and then he's either going to go back out on the indies or he's probably going to retire. Paige has a lot of career ahead of her.
Well, she's been in the business 12 years, 10 years already? Something like that.
10 or 12 years, she's had health problems pretty much that entire time. She had scoliosis as a child, so her back is messed up. So she probably does need, like, back surgery, I would guess, or some sort of treatment for her back. So I can see her needing the time off. So, you know, a break, her leaving and taking a break might not be a bad thing for her. But right. Leaving with him, I don't know. Because it's like, unless he's going to put a ring on it, and even then, you don't know if he's going to honor that, because clearly, you know, he cheated on his wife, Paige. And once a cheat, always a cheat. That's how that works. So it's like something prettier could come along and he could cheat on Paige with that and break up with Paige. Then she's lost her job. She's lost everything because, you know, of him.
Yeah.
Her decisions regarding him, because it's not his fault, it's her fault. But a break for her may not be a bad thing, just for her to get her head straight, because I think she needs that. I think she needs to just take some time and get her head on straight and figure out what she wants to do and what she wants to be, because she's had a lot of success very early on, and we've seen her struggle with it.
Right.
Because it's like, it's a really awkward age to find success, because you're not quite grown into yourself yet. You're still figuring out who you are, and when you're that young, it's like, you have the freedom to do whatever you want because you're now considered an adult. So you're going to do all the crazy shit that you think you can do, that you really can't.
Right.
And then have the level of success that she's had on top of it. It's like, and to have the money and the ability to be able to do anything you want, that can mess with your head. So I would say if she's going to do it, if she's going to go on good terms. Don't go on bad terms. Because with the Women's Revolution, with everything going on in WWE right now, and who they have in that company, if she decides to leave and she leaves on bad terms, they may decide they don't want her back. They don't need her back.
Right.
I mean, people that leave on good terms, they're welcome back anytime they want to come. People that leave on bad terms, well, you can come back, but you come back on WWE's terms, not your own.
Right.
And that's not always the best thing.
No, it really never is the best thing.
And then there's the other diva, whose husband may be facilitating her career decision as we speak.
All right, husband here, just shut the F up.
That's it.
Just shut the F up, husbandger.
For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, Eva Marie gets suspended today. Her husband puts out a statement on Twitter that basically says, let's see, do I have the exact tweet?
You should have the exact tweet.
I should have the exact tweet. Let's see. And I quote, "When the public finds out why my wife was unjustly suspended, they will be absolutely outraged. Official statement and facts coming soon." Okay. You can be mad. I'm not saying you can be mad. You can't be mad. Okay? You can be mad. You can be upset. You can be pissed. You can be everything. WWE's drug policy has come under a lot of criticism lately because of Brock Lesnar. Because everybody feels that Brock Lesnar should have gotten suspended even though he didn't fail a WWE drug test. And therefore is not eligible for a suspension. Just, I have to put that out there again because I keep seeing this where everybody keeps complaining about how Brock didn't get suspended. WWE didn't have the right to suspend Brock. He's talent. He falls under the wellness policy. He has to fail the wellness policy in order to get suspended. Just, I have to say that again because I keep seeing this and it keeps pissing me off. Anyway, Eva fails a drug test, gets suspended. WWE has a very wide range of items on their banned list that you can get suspended for. It's generally something really stupid that people get popped for. You know, they're taking like a supplement and there's some kind of amphetamine in there, that a very low dosage of it, but it's enough that it shows up on a drug test and it triggers a suspension.
Yeah.
It's like usually all natural products, something like that. You're taking something you know, in her case, I would almost bet money it was probably fat burners. And she took it. She didn't realize what was in it. It showed up on a drug test and she got suspended for it. So it's something that, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. They have every right to be upset about it. It's a very upsetting situation because now, because here she was sitting pretty with a match at SummerSlam after her re-debut on the main roster. You know, she's getting the push of a lifetime apparently, and she gets suspended for 30 days, which is going to derail everything.
Yes, it will.
So I get that. You're upset. You don't feel it's right.
But
there's a lot of stuff that happens that isn't right.
But have we not learned?
Oh, you just had to bring up the music, didn't you?
I did.
Yes. Okay, here's the deal. Because we were talking about this before the show. WWE does not like negative press. They don't like people speaking out. It's something of, basically, if you're talent, you kind of come in and you do as you're told in regards to certain things. One of those things is you do not put out statements regarding drug policy suspensions beyond an apology. I think that's the best they can muster, or the best that they can be okay with.
Yeah.
To come out and basically say that the company is wrong, that the suspension is unjust, this is what she got, this is what she was taking, this is what she got suspended for, they're wrong, and he's basically inciting the fans to speak out against WWE, that's going to mess everything up in a big way. Because here's the thing, you can speak out against the company, that's your right to do so, but it's their right to punish her. Like, he has no skin in the game. It's not his career that's going to be affected by this. His livelihood will be, because it's like she's got total divas, she just got called back up to the main roster, she's getting pushed, they were looking at a really, really, really nice couple of paydays probably for her, and now it's all in jeopardy.
There's a lot built on the Eva Marie brand. There's a fitness line, or and there's a fashion line, or whatever. She's doing a whole bunch of different things, and building the brand around her, which is what she's trying to do. This suspension will not help that at all.
Nope.
Him opening up his mouth will not help her at all. It's a bad move. Let her serve her suspension, whether it's just or not. Let her serve it. Because guess what? You're in a better position if you stay quiet than speaking out.
Yeah, because here's the thing, is it's because they're doing the gimmick right now where she always finds an excuse not to wrestle. Well, now she has an excuse not to wrestle for 30 days. And you can come back and basically, you know, it's like Eva Marie has gone on vacation for 30 days. That kind of thing. Where it's, she comes back, she can hit the road running like she did, and she'll be fine. Don't, if you're going to speak out, don't do it like this. You know, it's like Adam Rose did it the same way. Adam Rose basically came out and said, the company is wrong, I have a doctor's note, here's my doctor's note. And he was calling the company out on the shit, on their stuff. And piss the company off. Of course, we all know how Adam Rose turned out, but it's like they could basically see to it Eva never gets pushed again. They could make her sit in back until her contract expires, and she only makes her downside, which is probably not a lot since she just got called up from developmental. They can call E and say, yeah, we're really not comfortable with Eva on the show. We don't think she's a good influence. Can you take her off Total Divas?
Yeah.
There's a lot they can do to her career. And when that's pretty much their livelihood, although he makes very good money as well, apparently, but she's probably making more.
She's making a lot more. I want to address the man's term. Building the women's division makes no sense. Building the women's division makes no sense building around her, since she portrays herself as a model, which is what I thought WWE was trying to go away from for the women's division and not the divas division. Again, I agree. They should not be building any sort of division around her. But that's their plan, that's what they do. Because they see the potential in whatever she is. Is it a smart decision? No. But it's a decision they're going after. They may now question it, depending on why she failed.
Well, I think the plan was to not necessarily build the division around her, but to build her as one of the top heels in the division. I think the division is actually going to get built around Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss and Naomi and Natty. I think they're the ones that the division is going to get built around, but they were building Eva as really that top heel. And to Eva's credit, she's gotten retrained. She's not anything wonderful in the ring, but she's decent. And you put her in there with somebody that knows what they're doing, they can make her look good. it's not a half bad match. Put her in there with Becky, put her in there with Natty, put her in there with Naomi, she'll be fine. Once Alexa gets a little bit more experience, put her in there with Alexa, she'll be fine. It's one of those things where it's like, they weren't building the division around her, they were building her as a top heel for the division. Because I think they're trying to establish that. And it's something of Eva winning the title, being the first one to win the title, which is something that all the girls covet, is just going to set that division in motion, where everybody's going to go for her. Everybody's going to come for her, because they all want that title off her.
I agree. It will look subpar compared to others, and then she will not look strong for that long. I agree with that comment.
Yeah.
But going back, just that one final thing on Eva, it's like, or mainly his... See, the only reason we're really heavy-hitting her or talking about Eva Marie on this subject is because of her husband, Jonathan.
Yeah. It's like, dude, shut up.
Right.
Just shut up.
We've seen how he acts on Total Divas. So him coming out the way he did is not a surprise. He needs to take a step back because he'll hurt her career a lot more than helping it at this point.
Well, that comment alone is probably going to do her a little bit damage, but to release a statement... that's going to hurt her a lot. It's like, don't release the statement beyond, you know, I apologize, I was taking this, it's my error, it's a part of the banned substance list, you know, I appreciate everybody's support in this matter, see you in 30 days kind of thing. Not, well, this is unjust, they're wrong, you know, my wife was just doing this. Because I have a funny feeling he's the one driving it, not her.
I would agree on that comment. We have a Twitter comment, and we're going to get to that. I'll answer that Twitter comment here in a minute. Again, you can interact at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, and we'll read your comments throughout the night. I want to stick with women for a second. I want to tie this all together.
Okay.
While we have people suspended, we have one person cleared, that being Nikki Bella. According to ProWrestlingSheet.com, she has been cleared by doctors to get back into the ring. The Twitter comment goes, they'll build the division around Nikki Bella if she goes to SmackDown when she comes back. I would probably agree they will be adding Nikki Bella to the SmackDown roster. Nikki will probably play a prominent factor in that division.
But I don't think it's going to be built around her.
It's not going to be built around her, but she'll be a prominent member of that faction, of the division. At least going forward. On the road to WrestleMania, the next 8 months.
Yeah, because she's not going to be coming back directly after SummerSlam. It all depends on how long it takes her to knock the rust off.
There's a spot open for SmackDown.
There is a spot open for SmackDown. She could do a one-time appearance, or they could have Brie Bella show up.
I would assume I could see, as a surprise, Natty makes a phone call to Nikki to replace Eva. Nikki is the partner.
She could be. It's entirely possible, but I don't know how ready Nikki is. That's the thing. Nobody does, because she just got supposedly cleared. Before that, she was really only doing, I think, workouts. So, I don't know.
But for a six-woman tag, she doesn't have to do a lot.
Oh, I know.
Just want to point that one out. And yes, she is the past in your... I agree, she is the past. She should be helped. Coming back, her role should be building Alexa and Carmella and Becky, rather than pushing them back down. That's my statement on that.
Agreed. So, up next, because we got to keep this moving, and we'll keep it on the women, because, well, we've got a lot of female announcements tonight. Get your bumper ready, because it's time for the injury roundup.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
In the random injury of the week, because... I don't even know how it happened. I don't want to know how it happened.
Oh, we had a discussion. I wanted that the thing we talked about to have happened.
No, I don't want to know if that happened.
Oh, it would make this story stupendous.
She's not going to admit if it did. That's the thing.
Oh, I know.
But again, in the random injury of the week, we have Renee Young with a sprained ankle.
Hashtag blame Brent.
She initially thought it was broken. She went and got x-rays done. She can walk on it, so she thinks it's just sprained. She hasn't confirmed what it is yet, but...
she's assuming it is a sprained ankle. We will keep you up to date on the latest on the Renee Young injury, and hopefully it is just a sprained ankle.
Hopefully it is. Crossing my fingers. Quick update, because I don't really have a transition on this, but on Monday Night Raw, And again, for randomness, I guess, Seth Rollins was in the ring. He was calling out the Demon King, not Demon Kane. And, well, somebody decided to try to get to Rollins before Finn Balor could, and a fan jumped the barricade, got in the ring, security got hold of him, drug him out, and they threw him out of the building.
He was arrested. It's a clear sign, if you interfere, you will get arrested.
Arrested and charged, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, so... Everybody out there, I know they make you mad, but do not get in the ring. Okay? Do not jump the barricade. Just stay behind the barricade. Please stay behind the barricade. I don't want to have to get the bail money for anybody. And, well, speaking of getting the bail money for Seth Rollins, his arch rival is coming to SummerSlam.
Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is.
Because they couldn't get any other celebrities to appear at SummerSlam. WWE got Jon Stewart.
The Muppets were going to be a surprise, but they have not been able to make that work. So they found Jon Stewart, who's not really doing much, except he has a television show he's probably going to be promoting here in the upcoming weeks. But he will be the guest returning to the scene of the crime 1 year ago. He cost John Cena the WWE Championship and the United States Championship. He returns to the scene of the crime. Will he help Seth Rollins again? Or will he, you know, help AJ Styles? Who the hell knows? We'll find out. Coming soon.
We will. And, well, speaking of coming soon, we have 2K17 updates.
We do have a 2K17 update. No, I don't want that one. No sound. Thank you. Yes, they announced the latest roster.
So disappointed with this. I just have to say that. So upset by this.
So they, every week they put out, what's it called? The Suplex City, thing.
A montage image.
A montage image, as it were, for the, roster reveal that coming day, this IGN. So it's like, we sat here for a while and sort of was trying to guess who exactly was going to be on this roster. And we had a bunch of names confirmed, and it's like, alright, cool. And then it's like, oh, we think there's a buzzard in there, so we know who's gonna be in there, right? Right? Right?
Oh, it just wasn't in there. That thing was front and center. Huge. There's a big old gator in it, too. So it's like, oh, I know who it is, because, you know, the other two have been confirmed. There's Bray and Luke. Nope.
Nope. So here are the 36 names that have been confirmed. And there's actually a couple more, but right now, 36. AJ Styles. Awesome. They showed a picture of him. Awesome. He looks really phenomenal.
Yeah, he looks great.
Alexa Bliss looks really good. Alundra Blaze, Arn Anderson, Bam Bam Bigelow, Becky Lynch. Hot damn, Becky and Alexa in the game. Alright, we're getting some women. Bo Dallas got Bo Leave. Bubba Ray Dudley looks really good. Bushwhacker Butch and Luke. Christian, Curtis Axel, Devon Dudley, Dana Brooke, another female. Dolph Ziggler, Emma, another female. Eva Marie, another female. Fandango, Kofi Kingston, Lita. Randy Savage, perfect. Naomi, Natalya, Neville, Rick Rude, Rikishi, The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, Sting, Stardust, Summer Rae, Tamina, Tatsumi Fujinami, Trish Stratus, Tyler Breeze, and Xavier Woods. That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. You can tell this year they are making a concerted effort to get the women in the game. That was a big complaint last year, was that a lot of the NXT divas, mainly the Four Horsewomen, were left out of the game. This year, they're making sure more of them are in it.
We're waiting on Bayley.
We're waiting on Bayley. I would bet she comes next week.
To also confirm, Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus are in the video game as well. No real surprise, but they've been confirmed.
Yes, so, and I'm calling my shot now. I think Taker is going to be announced next week.
Yes, and we have a full more update coming next week, including new game modes, thoughts on that, and a bunch more other things. But since the news is heavy, we just did the roster reveal, like we will do next week as well, but we have a lot more to get into next week on the video game, because I got some, yeah. I have opinions.
He has opinions, and they have cool features coming. And finally, switching over to TNA, our last news story, by the way, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're just joining us.
We've just only begun.
We've only begun. This is the marathon show. Go to the bathroom, get some snacks, get something to drink. We're going to be here for a while. There's been a power shift in TNA. This was the biggest story of the week. It came out on Monday until the suspensions happened.
Came out on Friday.
Friday. I'm sorry, Friday. It felt like Monday. Came out on Friday. Obviously, This is huge news. It was announced that Dixie Carter is no longer the president or principal owner of TNA. The share percentages have not been released. But due to lack of funds and needing funds, Dixie has sold her majority shares, we think.
We think.
Or she's at least sold shares to Billy Corgan. And Billy Corgan, as part of the deal, is now president of TNA and has all the control of TNA. Dixie was demoted to the chief strategy officer, and she was made chairman of the board.
Where, oh, where to begin first?
Holy crap. That's kind of where to begin, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to begin. All right, so it's been rumored for a long time. TNA has had some financial troubles. We've documented them on the show. We talked about a couple weeks ago, Billy Corgan helped fund the last set of TV tapings and sort of getting more of a role. Now he's in charge of all the day-to-day operations of the company. Dixie, who years ago, when her father was trying to sell the company, was trying to stay on in some capacity, but the new ownership at that time, Toby Keith, was not having any of it, and that's why he backed out of the deal. In this manner, Dixie will remain an owner of the company. Aralux is the third owner of the company, and Dixie keeps the title, though relieving her of the power that she once had. Billy Corgan now becomes the face. He'll be the guy probably talking to companies about investing into Impact Wrestling, which are now Impact Ventures as their actual company name, no longer TNA Entertainment, which we've sort of known for a while, but everyone's just sort of picking up on it because we stalk LinkedIn.
we stalk everywhere.
We do, and we learned that like 4 or 5 months ago. Anyway, I'm intrigued by Billy Corgan being a part of TNA as its president.
I'm intrigued and terrified.
There's a lot to be terrified about, but there's intrigue. Because Billy Corgan is not a dumb, bad businessman. He knows what he's doing. He's built the Smashing Pumpkins for a long, long time. So he knows what he's doing. And he's respected in many sort of ventures. So it's sort of like, he could come in and do something really good for this company. He could raise morale, and this company could be in a better position now that they have someone else who in charge. Because a lot of people have been questioning what Dixie's all about for 14 years.
Well, we've all seen what Dixie's done. Dixie seems to be a pathological liar. She's a spin master. And she's in some really weird-ass level of denial about TNA, at least on the surface. Dixie has not made the smartest decisions. She's proved time and time again that the reason for TNA's failure really is her and the office mismanaging the company. I mean, to just be blunt about it, which wasn't really blunt, but I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around in that entire situation, but I think the consistent issue with TNA has always been the office. It's always been the way it's been run. It was better when Jarrett was there, but once Jarrett left, TNA took a sharp decline because Dixie got all the power, she got all the control, and she started making all these really poor decisions, especially financially. And that's where the company started to get into trouble. Then there was the whole Spike TV debacle where she lied to Spike TV. She pissed them off. She sent the wrong email and, well, they were done. And then they could not make Destination America work and now they're on Pop TV. I think Corgan will be very, very good because Corgan, like you said, he is respected. He has the name value that Dixie doesn't. He has a very, very solid reputation. More people will be willing to work with Corgan. That's good for them. That's very good for them. Corgan understands the one thing TNA has never been able to understand, which is marketing. I hope he goes in there and he revamps their marketing department and he kicks them into high gear and starts promoting the crap out of that company.
Because if he doesn't, they're screwed.
If you're going to take TNA and you're going to rebuild TNA essentially from the ground up, because that's where they're at this point, redo the marketing department. For the love of God, redo their marketing department and use it to promote that company. Because from day one, that company has never been able to market. And more than just us have called them out on it. Bubba Ray Dudley said it in an interview once, I believe, where he called their marketing department out on the floor. It's that bad.
Daniels and Kaz tell stories about going to gyms and, you know, wrestlers, you know, fans coming up to you. So when are you coming? When's the show? It was last night.
Yep. It's that kind of thing where it's like, unless you happen to be driving by the arena and you happen to see it up on the marquee, you don't know they're in town. There's no radio. There's really no TV. There's really no nothing. So it's, and I speak from personal experience because I went to one of the very last Road Impact tapings before they went to a more like monthly schedule, I guess, where it's like a weekly taping kind of thing. And had I not driven past the arena, I would have never have known they were there. And also I had a friend that worked for TNA and he gave me a heads up. But point is, drove past the building and only found out that way. So it's like, if Corgan's going to do it, redo their marketing department.
Also, give them something to market. The biggest change TNA needs to make with Billy Corgan in charge is go back on the road and do house shows and start making money for this company. Because no matter how many investors you get into this company, you cannot survive just being television only. That's not who you are. You're a pro wrestling company with a television show that you need to get people interested in. That's the only way you're going to grow an audience is by getting people out to see your show. And then, until then, you're just another wrestling company with a, you're gonna float by and not really go anywhere. And they have to get back out on the road. It needs to become a number one priority starting 2017. Maybe late for this year, but beginning of the year, they gotta get back out on that road.
They have to get out on the road. They need to get out, back out on the international markets. You know, there's a lot that they need to do. Because there's a lot that they haven't been able to do.
Because this company is going to be in really, really financial trouble, and you're just going to be wasting money. If he wants to see his money back, even if it's a little bit, he's got to start making money off the product. Because the company is not making money. Just having TV deals does not guarantee success in anything.
You know, honestly, if you're going to take it out on the road, I would take it out of at least Universal Studios. You don't necessarily have to take it out of Florida, but at least move it to a building or move it to a facility where you can sell tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Universal was great when they were on the road and they were doing house shows and they had alternate forms of income. It was perfect. Now it's like it's their only show. It's taped in the Impact Zone. It's at Universal Studios. They can't sell tickets to that. So they're making no money off their TV. So they're losing a lot of money off their TV. It's like, at least find a building that you can move it to, that the rent's relatively low. You can do it up however you want it. Basically find the Nashville Fairgrounds, but in Orlando or in Tampa. Because here's the thing, NXT's now in Orlando. So you may want to take TNA out of Orlando.
Just start selling tickets and make a profit for your company because that's the only way you're going to survive. That's it. It's the only way you're going to survive. And I think Billy Corgan understands this. I really hope he understands this.
I think he does.
But that's all I got on that. So we'll see what happens. And we got more TNA news next week.
Yes. And side note, Corgan said that they were doing wild, crazy things with drones and a roof. And I don't know, but I'm terrified they threw the baby off the roof. Just saying. Please don't throw the baby off the roof. But I think that does it for our news segment. What do you think?
Yeah.
If you don't know which baby I'm talking about, you don't watch TNA.
Because it hasn't been brought up yet on TNA yet. Well, sort of. Anyway. Delete. Delete. Delete.
Delete. Yes, delete. So when we come back, we are talking all things NXT TakeOver. We're going to break down the matches. We're going to let you know who we think is going to win and who we think is going to lose. And we've got Tweet the Week. So you don't want to miss it. It's The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. We want it all. If some of this shit is on, we want it all. Get paid when we bring it on, we want it all. We fight in the big bad city, we're not giving up, we want it all.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me.
Eight fucking lanes.
Eight motherfucking lanes.
Dude, the Godfather. for dive. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway for this. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
I'm back
in the back of the Camel Light. Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. It is. All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to cloud by fucking 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live... Midnight, we're as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments...
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. Are you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
There are men, and there are giants.
Bass and steel's in the building, flash the camera. I'ma drop the hammer. Change the hip hop, sizzle and Bobby out the slammer. Hip hop start on the East Coast and it move west now down to Bama. I'ma bring it back to New York, hold those buses and throw your hands up.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. If you're just tuning in, you missed our epic long news segment. This is the Marathon Show. We're doing everything tonight. Get your popcorn, get settled. This is going to take a while because we're getting ready to talk TakeOver. But before we do, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Corey Graves, seriously exploring the possibility of changing my legal name to Rambo Apocalypse. Johnny Gargano, we bought our first pro wrestling Funko Pop to add to our ever-growing collection. Seemed appropriate. Hi, Kevin! And it's, of course, the Kevin Owens Pop. To which Kevin Owens replies, also appropriate is that I'm standing over Godzilla. Sami Zayn, I've got a lot of respect for Cesaro. Sheamus, not so much. I don't really like Sheamus. I don't think anybody really likes Sheamus. To which Sheamus goes, Sammy Sausages. Raw is not Highlander. There can only be one. I am the ginger prototype. You are the stereotype. There's a ginger Okay.
Okay.
The rest are Biggie, pretty much. Biggie, if Cesaro wasn't wifed up, he'd have a harem of women calling him daddy. Hashtag worry about your own nuts. Biggie, I hate to break this to you. It doesn't matter whether he's wifed up or not. He has his own personal harem whenever he wants it. Just go on Tumblr. Biggie, Tom is the kind of man you'd let date your daughter but regret it when you found him gargling your toilet water.
Hashtag worry about your damn nuts.
Yeah, worry about your own nuts. All of these end with worry about your own nuts, so I'm just going to leave it off. To all the single ladies, my nuts still function properly. Fully functional.
That's two.
Big E, you know the term, you couldn't carry my jock strap? When I get back, that's what I'm going to make WWE Graves do. To clarify the last tweet, I may not have WWE Graves carry my swollen members in some wheelbarrow-like device, because they're that big. Big E, Heath is only here because he kind of resembles McGregor, sacrificial lamb.
Three.
Probably four.
Because I turned you on to these tweets.
I don't remember you doing that.
I did on Monday.
I've slept since then. Big E, fun fact, he claims all the boys illegitimate kids. Sacrificial lamb. And finally, Backlund is the fun uncle who makes you wrestle him if you want to enter his house. Somehow he has a singlet your size.
Is that it?
That's it.
Continuing on, worry about your own nuts. Sami Zayn is actually what I imagined Larry David was like in his 30s. Let's see. This SummerSlam match is about more than the titles. It's mostly about testicles. Those are the other two from him. So here we go. Let's move on. Joey Styles tweets, oh my god, I'm back. Sorry that I was away for a couple weeks. @TommyDreamer told me I was trending. I wonder why. Was I in the news? Keep it five star. Tom Phillips is officially the man of 1,000 names. Hashtag Raw. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Alex Greenfield. I really hope the egg in urine jar holds the same power over Big E that the urn does over The Undertaker.
Oh my god, no.
Oh, that would be awesome.
But they blew one of them up in a microwave.
True. Well, they melted one of the urns at one point. Made it a gold chain.
The power escaped. It wasn't the actual physical urn. It was what was inside the urn. So you're saying that what was inside Big E's testicle, there's power?
Of positivity, yes. Yes, it is.
Big E, we need this confirmed!
The fake ESPN. The Cubs fired someone who played Smack My Bitch Up when Aroldis Chapman pitched. But they hired the guy who actually did smack the bitch. Which they did. Classy. Fake ESPN. The 49ers signed quarterback Christian Ponder. Choosing between Ponder, Gabrick, and Kaepernick is like choosing between herpes, chlamydia, and gonorrhea.
Wait, the 49ers signed Ponder?
Apparently so.
Ooh, they must be desperate.
Again, herpes, chlamydia, and gonorrhea.
Take your pick.
Take your pick. Becky Lynch. Everything Austin is cool. Austin Powers, Austin Creed, Austin Texas, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Kudos to you, Austins. Kudos. Keep it five star. Bray Wyatt with the I miss Luke Harper face right now. Hashtag SmackDown Live.
We're not talking about that. Didn't happen. He just left the chair and the mask for Eric to carry back. That's what happened. They're not breaking up. Side note, if they do break up, Eric Rowan, you have a home. Just saying. The fangirls will look after you.
Sasha Banks tweeted, Mom with heart emojis at Naomi WWE. You just snatched me bald. Which she replied, I got that Gorilla Glue to patch it up.
Aww. Team Bad Lives.
Ryan Reynolds. My daughter loves the Miley Cyrus song, We Can't Stop, because she thinks it's about cutting the brake lines on my car.
I love Ryan Reynolds' Twitter so much.
It's amazing. John Kenton. Time for a brand extension in WWE again. The four WWE brands. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, suspended. And finally, AJ Lee. Caught my phone mid-drop, so I'll be justifiably referring to myself as a ninja for the rest of the day.
Seems appropriate.
Very appropriate. Very appropriate. And Matt, shut up.
What'd he say?
Hashtag Team Fluffy. Shut up.
Go Team Fluffy!
Shut up.
Because now we're getting ready to talk about NXT! And you know all my Team Fluffers out there.
That sounds so wrong in many ways. Team Fluffers.
It's the rack.
I know.
We do an entire show named after boobicles, and you're saying Fluffers sounds wrong?
Boobicles. Just talk up this segment as I do it. Stuck on boobicles.
I broke him! Yes!
Boobicles. Alright, continue.
So, we have TakeOver 2. It's coming to Brooklyn. It's an exciting time.
It's back to Brooklyn.
Hey-o. Back to Brooklyn. We have a lot of awesome matches.
We do. Go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork and post in there for Pick'em for both NXT TakeOver, Back to Brooklyn, and for SummerSlam. To get that out of the way, you can tweet it at WildTalk at Rock Radio Show as well. And all the variety of Facebook pages for every show we do here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now that's all out of the way. Now it's time to get into the show. It is a six-match show. We have five predictions from WWE 2K16 because one was a TBA until last night. So that one's not getting a simulation because simulations are done. That being said, let's talk about the first match up on the show. It's the debuting Ember Moon taking on Billy Kay, who, if you're unaware of this, had a match on SmackDown a month or so ago.
Did she?
She did.
I had no idea.
I had no idea, but she had a match on SmackDown about a month or so ago. She hasn't talked about it at all in any sort of promo she's ever done.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was not aware of this. I completely forgot.
Completely, totally forgot on that one. But now we know she had a match on SmackDown. I believe she lost.
Yes, she did.
I believe it was to Dana Brooke, maybe?
Dana Brooke or Charlotte, one of the two. Yeah.
It was someone.
It was someone.
Doesn't really matter. She lost that match, and now she's going against Ember Moon, who's making her debut with NXT.
I'm curious about Ember Moon.
I hear things about Ember Moon.
I'm intrigued.
Ember Moon has me intrigued.
And I like the name, Ember Moon.
It's a good name. So the question is, will she win her debut in NXT?
I think she will. Cold hunch.
I believe Ember Moon is going to do such things, too. Ember Moon wins. I say Ember Moon, you say Ember Moon. I have a feeling when we're saying this all night long, the Magic 8-Ball says very doubtful.
You know, 8-Ball, get on the page.
It's gonna be a long page. Feeling like this is going to be a long, long night with this 8-Ball.
I don't know why we keep dealing with it.
It's in the contract.
Stupid contracts.
I know. It's like, you know, we have the Magic 8-Ball and the random thing picker just doesn't work for us. Anyway, moving on. Which, by the way, I never actually used the random thing picker this set. Just wanted to point that out if he was listening. Anyway, up next, a real matchup to talk about. A double Austin Aries takes on No Way Jose.
Now, Team Fluffy, first appearance, go Austin! This has been a semi-embroiled feud. You've had Austin and Jose going back and forth. We've seen a much more serious Jose. When it comes to Austin, I think he actually either beat on Austin or he beat Austin in a match. I forget which.
Austin Aries beat him down, then No Way Jose returned the beatdown.
Okay, so now we're going to the match.
Yes.
It's a little difficult to pick this just because it's like they're behind No Way Jose, but they're behind Austin Aries too.
Austin is the veteran who is trying to hold down the rookie, in quotations, for No Way Jose. No Way Jose is the NXT rookie. He's the newcomer. He's the up-and-comer. Austin Aries is the established guy in professional wrestling. He's a double. He's the greatest man to ever live. He wants to prove a point that he's better than some guy named No Way Jose who just likes to party, who, though, has shown that he can get serious when he wants to get serious.
Yes.
Now, that being said, Austin Aries' matches have been a little underwhelming. His match with Nakamura was better than his matchup. Who did he face in Dallas? He fought someone in Dallas that just sort of... Was it Apollo?
Yeah, I think it was Apollo.
It just sort of came a little... It was a little flat. I think this one's going to be better. I think Austin Aries will sort of carry him. Though, the thing is, you look at the card, you look at everything that's going on, it's like... I think that we have more heels winning in other places. So this one, I think the crowd in Brooklyn will be excited. You go with No Way Jose. And it was Baron Corbin, not Apollo Crews. It was Baron Corbin.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense.
That made more sense. I was like, oh, Crews didn't seem right. I'm going No Way Jose.
As much as I hate to pick against my boy, because he is my boy, No Way Jose.
He's a man who likes a good rack.
He is a man that likes a good rack.
So that being said, 8-Ball says not so good. Though, let's see, what did I write down for 2K16? 2K16 had Austin Aries as well. So we're against the Magic 8-Ball and the video game on this one. By the way, hashtag perfect week. If No Way Jose wins. Points. Yeah, buddy.
You're not so perfect week?
Hashtag perfect week. Hashtag stupid pants.
Because he's desperately trying to get in the lead.
No, I'm just trying to get back in the second place. That's all I'm really trying to do at this point.
So wait, does that mean you're mathematically conceding?
No, I'm not. Don't even try. We've been through this many times. Don't even go there.
Anyway. But it's fun. Y'all are so gonna hate me.
No. Up next, Andrade Cien Almas takes on the glorious Bobby Roode. So, back at NXT TakeOver The End, it was all about debuting someone new like Andrade Cien Almas. They were very high on him. And he came out and he sort of fell flat when he debuted.
He's a little hard to connect to. And he's very handsome. He's got a fun gimmick. You know, it's just, there's something about him that is just kind of like, I mean, there's a lot to him, but it's like, and I think it's just we haven't seen enough of it. Because since The End, he has not shown up really a lot at all.
He had a couple matches with Ty Dillinger, and it sort of was like, okay, he beat Ty Dillinger, then what? He had a couple match a couple weeks ago when Bobby Roode made his debut and everything like that. It's like, okay, he's alright, but it's like, his whole look just feels like he's just a guy. He's not like a star. He's, you know, generic looking tights, and he comes out like a, I guess a, the old
zoot suit.
Zoot suit? what it's called?
Pimp suit?
Pimp suit.
I don't know.
Like a stripper, kind of. I don't know.
There's a lot of that in WWE right now.
There really is. It's kind of a thing they're going for, I guess.
I'm okay with this ripper weight pants trend. I'm down for this.
Anyway, I just sort of haven't been able to connect with Andrade. And I know he's this big international star, and he's been good everywhere he's been. And he may be great. But right now, he just sort of doesn't seem like he's connecting. For me, I like Bobby Roode. I know who Bobby Roode is. And I sort of want to see him succeed. Because I get this feeling he's going to become one of the top tier guys in NXT as a heel challenger for whoever may hold the championship, which we'll talk about in a bit. I think Bobby Roode has to come out strong. This will be his first official match on NXT television. He's done a lot of house shows, but this will be his first television match. And it needs to be, in a way, glorious.
You don't have a theme song like Glorious and lose your debut. Bobby Roode is being positioned to be one of the top stars in NXT, and he's probably being fast-tracked to the main roster because they don't really need to do a whole lot with him. And as you said, they need to build a heel challenger because, well, when we talk about the world title match, I'll get into that, but Joe's probably on his way up. So Bobby Roode's going to win. Go Team Fluffy. Yes, points. Yes, yes. Because we're glorious.
So Bobby Roode, I'm going with as well. Magic 8-Ball says very doubtful that Bobby Roode win. And so does 2K16. They have Andrade winning that one. Now we get into the meat and potatoes of the show. We'll start with the NXT tag team titles. The Revival versus Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. First off, Ciampa and Gargano, you deserve so much credit right now. Not for your awesome Cruiserweight Classic. Oh no, 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 no. It's for the Glorious Bombs.
Oh my god, it's the best thing ever. How do you get Bobby Roode out? And about and over, you have Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa stalk him and play his theme music, and then Bobby Roode nods approvingly. That's it.
That's it. That's all you need to do.
It's just like, but after the latest one, I now want a No Way Jose bomb. I want a Jose bomb. Somebody make that happen.
Could happen.
Looking at you, TM61. You need something to do.
You need something to do. Anyway, this matchup could steal the show. Triple H was on a conference call and said this one could steal the show. Because it's two great tag teams that could really tear down the house. And I agree. These two teams will probably tear down the house.
Oh, yeah.
Four fantastic guys who know how to work, who know how to tell stories in the ring. They may not be the best promo guys, but they know how to work. You give these guys 20 minutes, and they will tear the house down and put on a match that we won't ever forget.
I'm excited for this. I can't wait for this, because this is really... And this is not to knock the other people that have challenged the Revival up until now, but Tommaso and Ciampa are really the first one to feel major threat, because they are on the same level as the Revival. They're just that good. They're that in sync with each other.
And no disrespect to American Alpha, who are a really good team. I think Gargano and Ciampa are a better team.
Because you're talking about years of teaming together with Ciampa and Gargano.
I don't think they've been even teaming together for that long, honestly.
Let's see. It feels like that long. Hold on.
I know.
To the Google.
To the Google. She's going to talk Google how long they've actually been teaming. But together, they've been around the block. They know what they're doing in the ring. They've been around a long time on the independent scene. And it's sort of like this is their opportunity to prove themselves. They have a chance to do something really well. And I think... Even though the Revival just won the belts back again, you gotta change the belts here. I think in time you move the Revival up. Probably by the end of the year you move them up onto SmackDown and have them be up there on the main roster and let Gargano and Ciampa sort of carry the division for a little bit on NXT. I think that's how you would do it, because you got the Authors of Pain who are becoming going to be up in the mix as the top heel team, and you got TM61, and you're sort of rebuilding the division. While the Revival won't go right away, I think to balance things out, Gargano and Ciampa get the win in this one. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think Ciampa and Gargano got the win, and it seems like they are a recent tag team, but they're very in sync.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's the thing, that's why it's like, you know they're that good if they've just been together a short while and they're already like this. Yeah. It's a good match. So, Yeah, I think Tommaso and Johnny win here. I don't know if they win the titles or not. I don't know if they're shenanigans. I don't know what goes on. But yeah, I think they're going to pick up the victory over the Revival here. Because they need to. You need to build that next big face tag team because American Alpha is gone. You really need to actually rebuild the tag team division in NXT. Because I think right now it's the Revival and TM61 and Tommaso and Ciampa. And that's it, isn't it?
And the Authors of Pain.
Well,
They have no names. They're just the Authors of Pain.
So,
Magic 8-Ball says Gargano and Ciampa. But the video game has the Revival.
Get it together, guys! Jeez! Different opinions.
I know, as it goes. Now we get to the NXT Women's Championship. Asuka versus Bayley.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
While the matchup at NXT TakeOver Dallas was good, I was left a little disappointed in that match. For the simple reason, Bayley lost. It's hard for me to really not want to root for Bayley, because I love rooting for Bayley. She's just someone very easy you want to root for. And it's hard going into this matchup knowing Bayley's probably not going to win. It's hard knowing that fact. That said, I think this is going to be a fantastic match because this is going to be her send-off. If you look back in time, the matchup she had with Sasha Banks at NXT TakeOver Respect for the 30-minute Iron Woman match, that was the send-off of Sasha Banks. Between that and Brooklyn, those were the send-off. This is going to be the send-off of Bayley, and she's going to go out in a blaze of glory. She knows her time in NXT is coming to an end, and she's going to put on a show for her fans who have been supporting her for the last 3+ years.
It's time. It's time for Bayley to come up. It's past time.
Long, long past time. Watch the Women of Evolution special on the WWE Network, which was absolutely fantastic. And it's just, you listen to Bayley talk, and you watch her react. Those are my friends! And, you know, like, you feel really bad for Bayley not being on the roster right now.
You feel bad for her, but you don't. Because it's like, it gives you the impression that they are saving her for an individual debut. It's like, the one thing that I kind of never really liked was that Charlotte and Becky and especially Sasha didn't get individual debuts. They all came up together. They all got put in the Women's Revolution movement together. Bayley, they held out. So Bayley is going to get her own debut. She's going to be special. And that to me is well deserved.
Without question.
So, but yeah, I would agree. This is Bayley's send off. Because this is Bayley's send-off, I think she and Asuka are going to kick it into high gear.
Because now the Ida dynamic is, Asuka sort of turned a little bit. Mm-hmm. We've seen more of a little more cockiness, a little more heelish side of Asuka, which is sort of what they need if she's going to be the face of that division. You need to see a growth there. And I think we're finally seeing that growth with Asuka. And it's going to add an extra dynamic. Because in the first match, the fans weren't sure where to go. Everyone liked Bayley, but people liked Asuka. If you actually have the natural heel in play, it can add to it. And you're going to see Bayley scratch and claw and scratch and crawl and sort of fight her way to see. She's going to do everything possible to try to defeat Asuka. It's going to be an amazing match. Could be the best match of the weekend. You never know.
I think the feeling is like everybody wants something to top Sasha and Bayley, either one or two from last year. And I don't think anything really can. Because you look at those matches and you watch those matches and they're nearly perfect. They stand the test of time. To me, it's almost like Sasha and Bayley at Brooklyn last year is kind of on the level of Taker and Shawn at 25. For Mania 25. That good.
In terms of lasting impact.
And the match itself. I mean, the match itself was very good. And so it's like, there's such a history between Bayley and Sasha that's been built over the years where they're on and off again kind of thing, that it's like it just, and they built to that moment because that is the moment that Bayley finally succeeded. She became the women's champion. She achieved her goal. You can't get much higher than that. And like you said, it's difficult because you know Bayley is probably going to lose.
Yeah.
Bayley's going up to the main roster. She's losing this match. This is her send-off. But it's like, because you know it's that, you've already come to terms with it, and it's easier to enjoy the match for what it is. It's like, because you know, you already know it's coming.
We weren't sure at WrestleMania. We are kind of sure now.
Yeah, it's, especially with Eva Marie, a hole being left by Eva Marie, people are going to need to be shifted. Now, you know, Nikki Bella could come back, or Bayley could go to SmackDown. And they keep Bayley and Sasha apart for a while. Who knows?
Who knows?
But Asuka. Just to make it official, Asuka.
Points. Asuka. Bayley for video game and Magic 8-Ball. But points for Asuka. I hate saying that, though. That one hurt. That one hurt a little bit.
Because you want Bayley to win.
I really do. I know Bayley's going to lose a lot of the main roster, but that's okay. Because
you build her up as the underdog.
Exactly. Now we get to the main event. Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura. I got your nose. Cocky smiles. Joe furious. Joe not wanting to face Shinsuke. Joe getting pissed off at Shinsuke for him not sort of taking things serious. This build has been fantastic. It started with Finn Balor laying down for Shinsuke Nakamura and putting Shinsuke over as the next guy. Triple H said on the conference call, this is a battle of two unique styles. And it really is. They've probably never fought each other, because I don't think they have. But you hope that their uniqueness will sort of work, you know? It could go one or two ways. It could be really, really good, or their styles could really clash. I hope it's their styles work well together.
I think they will, because they share the very common denominator of they both like to work very stiff.
That they do.
I expect this to be stiff as hell. I expect there to be a lot of physicality. I think they're going to mesh very well with each other. Because I think Joe can work closer to Shinsuke style, or Shinsuke can work closer to Joe style, where they can work it out and they can mesh together. Because they were trained in a similar way. So they can figure it out. I expect this to be very, very good, given who's in the match. This has been a beautifully done feud because there's like Joe overreacting to everything and Joe constantly being angry is balanced by Shinsuke just being kind of chill.
Yes.
And that just pushes Joe's buttons, the fact that he cannot upset Shinsuke Nakamura. That Shinsuke's just like sitting there, he's like, chill, hanging out, I'm cool, I got your nose. You know, all this different stuff. Joe cannot get to Shinsuke. He's not in Shinsuke's head, but Shinsuke's in his. It's really, really, really well done.
Because Samoa Joe usually tries to get in the head of his opponent and usually works. This is not working.
If anything, it's the opposite.
He cannot figure out Shinsuke Nakamura. And it's going to cost him the NXT Championship.
Yup. This is another one. Joe is probably on his way up. Go Team Fluffy. And Shinsuke has been deemed the guy. I should say Shinsuke picks up the title. And he is your new face of NXT.
Which could then lead to Bobby Roode and Shinsuke Nakamura down the road.
Which would be pretty.
Yes, it would. But, again, there you go. Let's see. Magic 8-Ball says not so good for Samoa Joe retaining. So they have Shinsuke. And so does the video game has Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh.
So normally, we're done.
Normally, we're done, except, well,
There's still one more show left.
There's still one more show left.
And it's the biggest party of the summer.
It is the biggest party of the summer, and buckle up, y'all. This is gonna take a while.
We got one more show to preview. Stick around, it's going to be epic.
So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
She's and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
It has returned.
I am looking for Sarah Card. Oh God, wrong house.
This is so not safe.
WTR Riffs presents the final deletion.
Oh my God, there's like an army of drones.
Ah.
Oh dear God.
That's not the kind of riding you're supposed to do on a lawnmower.
Jeff,
no.
Okay, I'm starting to think that these guys have more money than sense.
What am I looking at?
Jeffrey Nero, what are you doing?
Oh, this is a bad idea. This is a really bad idea.
Why do you always try to kill your brother with fireworks?
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
Thank God, it's over.
This August, relive the best matches in SummerSlam history in video game form.
To the greatest of all time will suffer their first SummerSlam loss in a one-on-one match here tonight.
Subscribe now to youtube.com/trackradioshow to witness 21 days of SummerSlam history in video game form.
John Cena has held the WWE title 11 times. Daniel Bryan has never held the gold. And the question is, for Daniel Bryan, tonight, will he become the next John Cena? Will he become the next Rock? Or will he become the first Daniel Bryan?
Don't miss it this August only at youtube.com/trackradioshow.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Oh, my love, the light is going down and the week is here. Save my soul. I can feel it coming, troubles in the air.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And if you've made it through this very long show so far, on Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much. We have just a little bit more, because yes, it's here. We finally gotten to it. SummerSlam. This show's almost as long as SummerSlam.
It's pushing it.
I swear to God.
It's pushing it. It really is, because SummerSlam's going to be 4, 5, 6 hours long at this point, with the 2-hour pre-show and the 4-plus-hour show that it is going to be. But it's the biggest part of the summer, so...
Y'all, I have to go to work in the morning. I'm old, okay? I have to work Monday. Can we not make this any longer than it has to be?
I mean, we just talked about TakeOver, and that's 2.5 hours, 3 hours if you consider the pre-show. So this is going to be, what, 10 hours?
It's like WrestleMania weekend.
It really,
I'm going to go in Monday morning with a wrestling hangover.
But that's okay.
Yes.
Wrestling hangovers are the best kind of hangovers, sort of.
Well, if WrestleMania is wrestling Christmas, what is this?
We said this was Hanukkah, wasn't it?
Did we?
Yeah, like a few weeks ago. I think we said Hanukkah.
It's Wrestling Hanukkah?
Wrestling Hanukkah. I think that's what we called it. I know we called it, but it was something Wrestling Hanukkah. I think it was SummerSlam. May have been. Anyway.
Could be?
Anyway. Muscle tough, everybody. It's SummerSlam weekend. It's SummerSlam. Can you tell we've been doing this show for a long time tonight? It's a long, long show.
Anyway. We're delirious.
At this point, yes, we are. But let's get into it, all right? Because, you know, we have to. It's SummerSlam. There's 11 official matches on the show, not including if they move anything to the pre-show or add anything to the pre-show at some point.
Please don't add anything to the pre-show. Please don't. He's tired of simming stuff.
With NXT and SummerSlam, and then we're going to do a playthrough over the weekend of both shows. Like, it's enough. It's enough matches. It's too much. Okay?
The requirement has been filled. Thank you very much.
11 matches is plenty. WrestleMania had 10. So I think, yeah, something like that. I don't know. It's been a long time. It's a long show. Let's get into it, shall we?
Let's get into it.
Let's go with the newest match announced first. And it came to be on Tuesday night SmackDown Live. It is Carmella, Becky Lynch, and Naomi taking on Natalya, the evil sparkle fairy, Alexa Bliss, and yesterday's birthday boy himself's favorite, Eva Marie.
Hashtag all red everything. Will she finally make her debut?
I gotta say, I love the fact that she was stuck in traffic on Tuesday and then showed up.
Yes, that was awesome.
Because she is all red everything, and being stuck in traffic means one thing. All red lights.
Yep. They're being clever about this. I like it. They're building you up to Eva actually probably debuting on the pay-per-view. And that's if she even gets tagged in.
Yeah, to her, to be fair about everything. Do you all remember that she actually did wrestle WrestleMania?
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that?
No, this is her re-debut.
This is her re-debut, but she did come up and wrestle at WrestleMania in a 10-person tag, rather, at WrestleMania on the pre-show. So this could be on the pre-show. This will probably be at some point on the main show. I don't expect this match to get a lot of time, but I like that Carmella got on the show, and I like Alexa Bliss got on the show, because they're brand new. I like that they're featuring basically the SmackDown Women's Division on SummerSlam.
I don't know who's going to win. That's the problem. Let's see. It's the entire Women's Division.
It is. It really is.
Of SmackDown. So,
see, here's the thing. I like Becky. I like Carmella. I like Alexa Bliss. Naomi's fine. Naomi is... Alright, let's talk about Naomi for a second.
Naomi just re-debuted.
Are you feeling the glow?
You know, on further reflection, after last night, I like it. I do. I think it's different. It's unique. It's her. Because if you watch her on Talking Smack, she's glowing. She's loving it. She loves the gimmick. I think she's finally found herself after the Funkadactyls, because I don't think she was ever comfortable being a heel. She eventually embraced it, and she did alright with it. It was better when she was in Team Bad, because she had people around her that she could sort of play off of, but it was very awkward with her as just on her own.
Watching her on Total Divas like we do for the Rack Extra Total Divas right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, shameless plug, I get it, that one in there returning this fall. She's a nice person.
She's a beautiful person. And I think it's very hard for her to be a heel. I mean, we saw her struggle with it on Total Divas. It's just difficult. She doesn't really like to do it. So it's like, I understand why going back face, embracing who she is, and bringing that to TV is something she really wants to do. She's excited for the gimmick. You can tell.
Oh, yeah, you can tell. The one thing I would change is the whole thing with the backpack. That just seemed very weird.
I'm not feeling the backpack. I'm not feeling the light in her mouth. She's actually been doing, like, glow-in-the-dark or blacklight visible lipstick on house shows, and I'd rather see that than the light in her mouth, because the light in her mouth is like, what is that?
Well, it's going to evolve over time. I would assume this is all about the baby faces going over.
It's got to be. You have Naomi re-debuting. You have Becky, who's being pushed as the number one draft pick for the women on SmackDown. It's very clear they're interested in making Becky Lynch a star.
I say Naomi pins Natalya.
Yeah, because that's going to be a feud going into Backlash. So I would say Eva either doesn't show up, or Eva doesn't tag in, or Eva leaves.
She could walk out on her partners.
And it leaves Natty and Alexa Bliss. Alexa does her evil sparkle fairy on Natty, and it could be Natty gets left all on her own.
She could. That's why I say Naomi pins Natalya.
Works for me.
Alright, so going off of that, the Magic 8-Ball, who we've been using a lot tonight, says no for Team Becky winning, but WWE 2K16 has Team Becky winning. So a little decisiveness from the Magic 8-Ball and 2K16 so far for SummerSlam.
Get it together, y'all. Jeez.
On the same page. Jesus. Anyway, now we get to Cesaro versus Sheamus in the first match of the Best of 2017 series.
Oh my god, why are we doing a Best of 7? Why? I didn't think we'd hit that point with the brand split already. I like Sheamus. I like Cesaro. I like them together. I don't know if I want to see them wrestle 7 straight times in a row because they've done a lot already this year, which they really haven't, but it feels like they've done a lot. And I wish they would do more with Cesaro. I wish they would do more with Sheamus. I don't think they're going to.
Here's the thing. If you're doing a best of 7 series, let it actually stretch out. And don't do 7 matches for 7 straight weeks because that will get really repetitive and really boring really quick.
Mm-hmm. But that's what they're going to do.
That's what they're going to do, but you can spread it out. Do one at the, do it for the next 7 pay-per-views and have them fight. Like,
oh my god, no. Can you imagine the next 7 Raw pay-per-views? Sheamus versus Cesaro, every pay-per-view, like clockwork.
It would be better than 7 straight weeks on Raw.
No, it would. No, really.
There's no good way around
it. There's no good answer. It's like, okay, best of 5, best of 3, that's manageable. Best of 7, it's like, what the hell? Who does a best of 7 other than baseball?
Well, there was one with Booker T and Redacted years ago, so.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
Why said Redacted?
He who shall not be named.
He should have who not be named, or otherwise known as Redacted. Sheamus.
I was going to say, is it a best of 7? Since it's best of 7, we know the feud's going to continue. I don't think it matters either way.
Sheamus. I mean, the video game has Sheamus and so does the Magic 8-Ball, so we're all on the same page. But here's the thing. Cesaro won the first 2 matches they had. But those don't count in the 7 series. So it's like,
I don't think counts.
It's like, if Cesaro wins the first one, then it's like 3 straight on Sheamus. It's like, what is the real point of this then? Sheamus needs a win.
To make us all cry.
Oh, I think we're going to be crying at the end of this because they're going to do the same match 7 times. Unless they really have something planned, which I don't think they actually have something planned for 7 different and unique matches.
Well, Why are they doing this match 7 times when Sami Zayn doesn't have a match?
It's a good point. Where's Sami Zayn? He just beat
Kevin. Where's Sami Zayn?
He beat Kevin Owens, and now he doesn't get a match on SummerSlam.
Where's Sami Zayn? Where is Bray Wyatt?
Well, we have theories where Bray will be on the show, and we'll get to them.
Yeah, we'll get to those.
But there's no spot for Sami Zayn, who had the emotional win over Kevin Owens and has nothing. There's no push for Sami Zayn. It's like, then Kevin should have won. Anyway, kind of bitter about that. Anyway, Sheamus wins. Sheamus, right, all around?
Yeah, I would agree.
Oh, one more point about the Sheamus-Cesaro match. Do them different unique things, then. If you're going to do 7 matches, make one a submission match. We'll make one a false count anywhere. Like, give us a different match, you know?
Yeah, don't do 7 straight, okay, just matches. Do gimmick matches. Do anything you can.
Do a cage. Do a tables matches, whatever. Do something different every time. If it's 7,
make them fun.
Make them fun. Yeah, exactly.
Fun-ish. Because, I mean, these are 2 really talented guys. If you're going to do 7, make them fun. Make them enjoyable. Don't just, like, drag it out where it's like, oh, it's another match between Sheamus and Cesaro.
All right, moving on. The Miz defends the Intercontinental title against Apollo Crews. There's a couple things about this match. Number 1. The build has been nowhere.
I was going to say, this is like completely out of left field.
Apollo Crews won the Battle Royal, or was it Apollo Creed? We're not sure. But he won the Battle Royal to get the shot at the Intercontinental title. Then they went to Australia, so they couldn't do anything with the feud. And then on SmackDown this week, during the break, they had a confrontation. During the break.
With a live crowd.
And then they showed the replay on SmackDown. During the break. That doesn't scream important to me. This match is missing a lot of heat. The crowd will probably be dead for it. It's up to The Miz to draw some heat for this match. The Miz is good at drawing heat for a match.
And if The Miz can't, Maryse can.
Exactly. But it's like, this is very, very lackluster.
I feel like the build on a lot of these matches has been lackluster. Where they've put a lot of effort into the world title matches. And I can appreciate that because it's your world title and the universal title. So you want to make sure those are important, especially with who you have in those matches. But I feel like a lot of the other matches have just kind of fallen flat or fallen by the wayside, or they were just thrown together last minute and thrown onto the card to fill space. Like, I think they knew they were where they were going with the main events, and then everything else is just kind of there. And yeah. This match is one of those matches where it's just like, they just didn't care.
This one fell victim to the brand split / Australia tour. That's sort of what happened in this one. Like, we wanted to come up with get The Miz on the show as a defendant in the title. We wanted to get Apollo Crews as a challenge. since it's a SmackDown match, we need a SmackDown match on what is a sort of Raw heavy show. So we wanted to balance it out, kind of. So that's why we got these two on the show. Again, at least he won a Battle Royal to get a title shot. Can't say much about the other title match, the U.S. title match, but that they changed that on Monday. But anyway, with that said, part of me thinks The Miz will retain, but a part of me goes, SummerSlam, they're really not doing much with the Intercontinental title. Let's push Apollo Crews and give him the belt. I'm kind of 50-50 right now. So I'm going to go to you first, and you can make the first pick.
Here's the thing. There's been no build to this. So if Crews does win, it's not going to be a huge monumental moment like it should be for him. It's just going to kind of be like, oh, hey, look, he won. Yay. But if you have Crews lose, he's kind of dead in the water. It's like this will be the second time Crews has come out, he's been in a feud, and they haven't really done anything with him. And they just sort of had him there to have him lose.
His call-up has been lackluster.
Which, for a guy that talented, that shouldn't be the case. It's like, Crews should have already been well on his way to the main event by now, and they've just sort of let him fall by the wayside, which is kind of ridiculous. It's like, if you're going to call him up, use him. Otherwise, put him back down, you know, leave him down in NXT, let him bide his time as NXT, let him take a shot at the title, let him become a star down there. And when he comes up, he can be a star on the main roster, too. It's like, to bring him up and just kind of waste him is stupid. And that can be said for a lot of people on that main roster.
You mean like how Baron Corbin has turned into Heidenreich?
We are not going to talk about that. Not talking about that awkwardness at all, other than Baron, it's a PG show.
Poor Kalisto becoming Michael Cole. Anyway.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
That was at least they're wearing pants.
I say Crews wins, but Miz keeps the title.
I say Crews wins the Intercontinental title. Video game has the Miz. The Magic 8-Ball, on the other hand, has The Miz as well. So it's very doubtful that Crews will win the Intercontinental title. So there you go on that one.
But we want him to.
We got his back. Represent, yo.
I gotta represent the hometown boy. He's from Stone Mountain. He's from here. He's from Georgia.
Gotta represent.
Gotta represent, man.
Speaking of hometowns, they're gonna be in the backyard of Enzo Amore and Big Cass as they took on Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. Jericho.
The pop for Enzo and Cass is going to be insane. This crowd's going to lose it for Enzo and Cass.
This will probably be the opener of the show.
I would bet money it would be.
Because you would start the crowd hot if you put those two out there.
And Enzo is going to be full of fire and piss and vinegar, and he's going to be shooting off at the mouth. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Then you get to the match. It's weird. It's a weird position that Kevin Owens is in right now. Chris Jericho is all about putting over the young guys. Kevin Owens is still young. Enzo and Cass is the big up-and-coming team. Do you sort of sacrifice Kevin Owens for this? Or make Enzo and Cass? Or do you use this team of Jericho and Owens and sort of put them in a feud with Enzo and Cass? And help them out right there, and maybe this will be the first of like a series of couple matches. And since they gave him a name, does this mean they're going to continue as a tag team, or what? Then again, I'm saying that then they made Styles and Jericho a team for like 2 weeks, so I don't know.
I think Owens and Jericho is a union of convenience more than anything else. I don't think it's going to necessarily be a long-term thing, and it probably could lead to a feud between Jericho and Owens, because Jericho has indicated he's going to be staying probably till the end of the year. So they could do a series between Jericho and Kevin, where Jericho puts Kevin over, and then he leaves. And that's probably where they're going with it. I think Kevin Owens can take the hit more than Enzo and Cass can, because you need to build a tag team to challenge for the titles, and you need to build a face team that is not New Day. It's got to be Enzo and Cass.
They are sort of taking over New Day's spot.
And the WWE hears the reaction. They see the reaction. They know what they've got in Enzo and Cass, and it's, I think they're in line to get the next big push for Raw and the tag division and have them be the face of the tag division with, you know, going back and forth between them and between them and the club in terms of the belts for a while. Kind of give New Day a rest. Seems Big E is hurt.
His balls are still inflamed.
Well, I mean, there's something weird about that whole situation where it's like, you wrote Big E off TV. Why did you write Big E off TV? Unless there isn't a legitimate injury.
You go back to Battleground and he took a big dive and it didn't look great. So, you know, it always makes you question.
So I think it's, depending on what happens in the tag match for the titles, is going to basically let us know what's going on with Enzo and Cass. This match will as well. That being said, you can't have Enzo and Cass lose in their backyard again. Last year, they went to Brooklyn, and they lost.
Did they?
Did they, or did Carmella? Carmella lost. No, Enzo and Cass won.
They weren't even on. They were on. They were on the TV. They weren't actually on the TakeOver special. So I think they won in an 8-man tag or something.
Yeah, because they brought them out in front of the Brooklyn crowd.
Yeah, it was for the TV show the following week.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And they won that.
Yeah, they won that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry. It's late. We've been going a while. I'm tired. But anyway, you can't bring them out in front of their hometown crowd and have them lose.
Yes, you can.
You shouldn't.
Has it stopped WWE before?
No.
Okay, then.
But seeing as, and I know we say this every pay-per-view, but I'm going to call my shot anyway. Seeing as I think this is the show where New Day loses the belts, I think Enzo and Cass win. To be built as the challengers for the club.
See, I'm sitting here thinking. I'm thinking also about the tag match, and let's get right to that as well. We'll mix these two together because they sort of play into one another. Gallows and Anderson have lost something since AJ went to SmackDown.
Personality?
Well, they've been trying to show their personality. They just
soccer mom hair.
Soccer. They've lost soccer mom hair. Yeah, they've lost that for sure. It's just they're missing something, and they're trying comedy against New Day, and it's like, you look back at what they were doing with the Wyatt family, it's like, you can do comedy versus seriousness, and it would work. You don't need to do comedy versus comedy, even though they're doing ball jokes, which have some have been funny. Part of me wonders if WWE has soured on Gallows and Anderson a little bit. Just a little bit.
I don't think they have, but I think they're more interested in making AJ a star than making Gallows and Anderson. I think that's why they got split up, is it's like, we're going to put AJ on his own, but we're going to make AJ into a star, and plus they're with Balor, which the general consensus from everybody is eventually they will reunite the club with Balor, and you'll have Balor take that over, and he'll pick up Gallows and Anderson. But I would agree, they've lost a step, they've lost their cockiness, because I think what sold that was the trio, because AJ just had that smugness to him that made it.
Yes.
And it worked. And without having that really smug heel character with them, they just don't work as well. I mean, they're fine. They're fantastic in the ring. Nobody's going to dispute that. But it's just, it's like, the ball jokes are funny, but it's like, y'all, you know, it's like New Day said it, y'all are so much better than this. I mean, the club is one of the most dominant tag team factions in the world right now.
Right.
And when I say the club, I mean the Bullet Club.
Right. And is the Bullet Club an all-time greatest wrestling faction? Vote weekly at WrestleTalkRadio.com.
I mean, it's just purely dominant. So to take two guys who were integral to it and basically turn them into a walking joke, it's like, well, wait a minute. That's not right.
And the way to change that is by putting the belts on them so you get them a little bit of legitimacy. I want to go Jericho and Owens, because part of me goes, Jericho and Owens versus New Day could be good. The interaction could be really good. That's what's sticking in my head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you could still do that without the belts being involved. That could be a thing as well. But so, alright, Enzo and Cass and Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah, and in terms of New Day, it's time. It's past time. It really should have been for the titles with the Wyatt family last month. I'm not bitter, not at all.
Yes, she is.
But it wasn't. New Day lost to the Wyatt family. Brand split happened. And New Day moved on as if nothing had happened. They've got the record, well past the record at this point. I want to see the titles changed. I love New Day. I think they're great. I think they're hilarious. But it's time to move that title. It's time to put it on somebody else. It's time to have New Day chase. Because they are equally as good, if not better, chasing the tag team titles versus holding them.
And it's been 1 year since they've held for them holding it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long, long time to be a champion in that company. So it's like, if you want to build your tag team division on Raw, you need to move those titles.
So,
Because otherwise, because it's like, here's the thing. If the club cannot take the titles off of New Day, who can?
And a New Day versus Enzo and Cass feud just doesn't work.
Yeah, they're both baby faces. They get along with each other. It's just, yeah, no.
All right, so you're Enzo and Cass and Gallus and Anderson.
Yep.
I'm the same way. 8-Ball is New Day and Jericho, so is the video game. So there you go on those two matches. Because they all tie into one another, so that's why we went in that sort of direction there.
Just easier.
It's easier that way. Two birds with one stone. Up next. Let's do it. I'm just going to go in the format they have it. It is the WWE Women's Championship match. Dana Brooke is banned from ringside. Sasha Banks versus Charlotte. What they did on Monday Night Raw 3 weeks ago was amazing. The big win for Sasha was awesome. Can they top that?
I mean, personally, just for self-serving purposes and WTR fantasy, I would be completely fine if Charlotte won the title back. Because, you know, Team Fluffy.
We've been talking about this all night. Really? Really? More Team Fluffy?
It's my first team member to come up.
For this show. For this
segment. For this show. Yes, for this show. But I have to bring up Team Fluffy. Because, you know, in the lead.
Why I was half going with Kevin Owens. Anyway. Not bitter at all about this.
Not self-serving. Not bitter.
No,
not at all.
No, not at all. Stupid pants.
But Sasha does not deserve to lose and have a 3-week reign. Sasha's the future of that division. Charlotte has had her time in the sun. It's now Sasha's turn. Give her that title. Let her run with it. And plus, there's something really, 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 really supremely appealing. Because I just want this moment so bad I can taste it, even though it's not going to happen, of Bayley walking out with the NXT Women's title and holding it up to Sasha with the WWE Women's title. And you just have that iconic moment in women's wrestling where there's your future right there. I would love to see that. It will never happen, but I would love to see it. And I just want to see Sasha win. You know, I want to see Sasha take down Charlotte. I want to see Sasha take down Dana Brooke. I want to see her take down every woman in that division, and then Bayley shows up, and it's like, game on. And you do that feud for Mania. So I say Sasha retains.
They have a lot working for them in this match. A year ago, at SummerSlam, it was three teams. Team Bad, Team PCB, and Team Bella. Now it's boiled down to Sasha versus Charlotte. Two women who, when given time, can tear the mother effing house down.
They turned a match of the night on Raw a couple weeks ago. I mean,
it's amazing.
This, prepare to have the show stolen with this match. They're going to try.
They're going to try. They did the match they wanted to do at SummerSlam on Raw 3 weeks ago. Now they gotta step it up. They gotta do something a little bit more over the top. And sort of make this memorable moment happen. Because the moment happened with Sasha winning. It happened on Raw, not at SummerSlam. So they have to do something which will get people remembering this match along with that other one.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Charlotte and Sasha at WrestleMania were part of a great three-way with Becky Lynch.
Oh god, that was fantastic.
And they tore the house down that night. So I know these women can go. We've seen it in NXT, we've seen it on the main roster. Give them 20 minutes and let them shine. Also, treat their entrances properly.
Yes, have Sasha come out in the Escalade again.
Just make sure it's special, like you did at WrestleMania. Give them a spotlight, don't make it seem like just a match. Make it special. Treat it like it's a legit main event, because it is. That said, Sasha retained.
Sasha doesn't deserve to lose.
The Magic 8-Ball agrees with us, while the video game has Charlotte regaining the Women's Championship next. It is the WWE United States Championship match, Rusev versus Roman Reigns. We saw the matchup on Monday night. It went too long on Monday night. It needs to be about 15 minutes on this show. It is a very clear example, especially Monday night. The push of Roman Reigns is not over.
Oh no, it's just beginning.
It's just been redirected in another spot. Roman Reigns is still one of the top guys since he was featured all over Raw. So people who are worried about Roman, don't ever worry about Roman Reigns. I don't want to see Roman win.
Roman's gonna win.
I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see it, but at this point, Rusev Rusev has had the U.S. title for I don't even know how long.
3 months.
They haven't done anything really interesting with him, with it beyond this storyline. I think this is the first really big interesting thing that they've done with him.
He's been interesting on his own.
Like,
he is awesome. There's a lot of great things about Rusev when you give him a live microphone. Not all of it makes sense, but it works.
But it's funny.
He works. He is an amazing performer. He has the it factor in some ways. You can see why they've always been high on Rusev. When you let him be him, he is great. I don't want him to be sacrificed to Roman Reigns. It will suck. It will hurt him. Like the loss to Cena hurt him. He took him for a year to rebound. I don't want him to be crushed by Roman Reigns. It will hurt me inside to see that happen. Not to mention fantasy implications on top of that. But that's not why I'm up. I like Rusev. I want to see him succeed. And I don't see them pushing him higher than the U.S. belt right now.
WWE is still looking to establish Roman Reigns. They were not able to get it done with the world title. They gave it to him 3 times. All 3 times, the fans were not tight to him. I think they're now going to try with the U.S. title, put it on him, have him hold it for a while, see if they can get him over that way. And then if they can, they'll move him back into the Universal title picture, which with either Balor or Seth, whoever wins that, and go from there. Here's the thing. What do you do with Roman Reigns if he loses? Rusev can always chase Reigns. He can always challenge Reigns to a rematch for the U.S. title. What do you do with Reigns if he loses?
I don't know.
The thing that's killing this is the fact that you did the match on Monday and you had Reigns win. It's like, why didn't you just make it for the title then? Why are they going to wrestle twice in the same week?
One was about Lana's honor. This is about a championship. So if he retains the title, so that means Lana's honor is not as important as the title?
Lana's honor is as important. He didn't even defend Lana's honor. He lost.
That's what I mean. Like, he should have beat Roman on Monday and actually put some doubt in this SummerSlam.
But now it's just like, yeah. It's going to be Roman. It's got to be Roman. I mean, and with going into the Raw pay-per-view after No Mercy, they're going to have a really short turnaround, I think.
If they're Backlash, they go to Clash of Champions.
Which is 3 weeks, 4 weeks after SummerSlam? I know SmackDown has a really short turnaround
Is Backlash 2 weeks after. It's 2 weeks after Backlash, so 4 weeks.
So they have a little bit more time. They have the standard amount of time, basically, but Roman.
Rusev. I'm Team Rusev Crush. I have some hope. I believe in him.
You believe in him?
Yeah, because I just don't want to see Roman win. I just don't. I don't want to see him win the U.S. title. I just don't want to see it. Roman doesn't need the belt. Roman doesn't need a belt to get over right now. He has a lot more to worry about. That said, 8-Ball says Roman. Video game says Rusev. I just don't want to see Roman with the belt. It's just part of me just, it doesn't work for me. That's all.
Oh, I get that. I completely understand it, but I think Roman is more important than Rusev in their eyes. So now they're ready to redeem Roman Reigns.
Right. And this is going to be the match, because I have a feeling we're going to be on the same page for the other 4 matches on the show. So, this will be the one that probably determines everything.
Yep.
Alright, so, moving on. John Cena versus the phenomenal AJ Styles.
I want AJ to win this so bad. It hurts. It really, really, really hurts.
What does AJ Styles like to do?
Beat up John Cena.
What does he get to do a chance to do on Sunday?
Beat up John Cena.
Will AJ Styles beat up John Cena?
Probably not. I mean, logic dictates he did beat up John Cena on Tuesday night, which means LOL, Cena wins.
No, here's the thing. No, he didn't, remember. Cena then came back and put him through the table.
Yeah, that's true. But it's Cena.
Cena on a pay-per-view. I know, I get this.
It's Cena on SummerSlam.
Well, he lost to Daniel Bryan on SummerSlam. He lost to Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. He lost to Punk at SummerSlam.
This is AJ.
But it was Punk, Bryan, and Brock.
Brock doesn't count. Everybody loses to Brock.
Including a dead man, who apparently, you know, decided to dye his hair.
We don't talk about that. He was going out in public.
He was out in public before with gray hair.
They like to mess with people.
They really do. He really, really does. But that's the thing. John Cena can lose on SummerSlam. He lost to Seth Rollins last year. So SummerSlam is not John Cena's event.
No, it's not. And I want AJ to win this. I really do. I think AJ is going to win it because you need to establish him. You need to establish a number one heel on SmackDown. Because here's the problem right now. You have Dean and Dolph going for the title. Dolph is playing the babyface. Dean is playing the heel. Bray Wyatt, who's your number one, number two heel on the show, does not have a match. Period. AJ Styles, who's your number one, number two heel on the brand, he's facing John Cena. You need to establish your two heels. You need to do that. Because right now you have Bray who's drifting and AJ who's kind of drifting while you're setting up your strong baby faces with Dolph and Cena and, I guess, Ambrose? Unless they're going to turn Ambrose heel.
No, I have a feeling Dolph may go heel. We'll get to that.
But you have a really short time frame. That's the problem. And they don't have enough time to put AJ in the world title picture in 2 weeks. I mean, literally, you're going to come off SummerSlam. You're going to do the recap show. You're going to do anything, set up anything for Backlash at that show after SummerSlam. You're going to have to, because then the next week is your go home. So they're not going to do a lot of difference. So I think we're going to get one more Cena-AJ match in some variety, unless they do a four-way for the title.
So I'm looking up a stat.
You're looking up a stat?
John Cena, the last time John Cena won at SummerSlam was 2010, a part of Team Cena versus Team Nexus. And he's had four wins in SummerSlam history that I've gone back to so far. That's it. He loses a lot. So let's AJ Styles just be on that list of people who beat up John Cena and make him lose at SummerSlam.
I'm down for that. I mean, I want AJ to win. I'm going to go with my heart on this one and say AJ wins. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with AJ Styles on this one. It makes sense since John Cena is, again, he's also leaving soon.
Yeah, so I think you do one more match in some variety between AJ and Cena, and that's in Cena on his way.
By just counting off the top of my head, he's four wins since his first SummerSlam was 2004. He has four wins in that span, and it's 2016, so basically what, 4-8, something like that, 4-7.
Mm-hmm.
This would make him 4-8. Yeah. So AJ Styles wins. Magic 8 Ball says AJ Styles. The video game says AJ Styles.
Which means we're all wrong.
You're all wrong, yeah. Alright, World Heavyweight title, WWE World Championship. Dean Ambrose defends against the number one contender, the surprise of surprises, Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is trying to be the heartbreak kid Shawn Michaels. I know we joked for months about him trying to do this, but now he's legitimate trying to be Shawn Michaels / Triple H. It's a thing. This is what he's becoming.
And I'm not 100% sure I'm okay with it.
Why not?
There was only one Shawn Michaels. I want Dolph to be Dolph. I want Dolph to find that sweet spot. And if that's becoming Shawn Michaels, then that's fine. I can accept it, move on, and deal. Don't have that much invested in it. But it's I feel like Dolph is trying too hard with it, if that makes any sense. It's too much of a copy. It's he's got the tights, and he's got the hair, and he's working on getting the same speech pattern kind of down. You know, it's like you said Tuesday night that he did the Shawn promo straight down to the fact that he took a step back when he did the super kick at the end of the promo.
When he was getting all fired up, and he was keep talking, you just watched him. You knew the kick was coming because he backed up three steps, and those three steps allowed him to do the kick. If you go back and look at Shawn Michaels in his career, and I'm a Shawn Michaels mark, have been since, 1994.
Day one?
No, not day one. Was not watching wrestling when Shawn was, a little baby. 1994, I became a Shawn Michaels mark. And that is what drove me into liking professional wrestling. So, for my day one, Shawn was the guy. Simply put. So, I know what Shawn does. I've watched a lot of Shawn. He would always fire up and then, bam, drop you with a kick. It's what Shawn did. And it's if you're giving Dolph the move, great. It's fantastic. You're giving him a move that someone else put over. But guess what? They've done that so much in wrestling. Okay, I get that. But he doesn't need to do every mannerism like Shawn. He doesn't need to be a fire up like Shawn does. It's at some point he's going to do the flying forearm and the kick up. Please don't do that, Dolph. I would hate your guts. Please don't steal that from Shawn. You're already stealing the tune up the band. I just don't... For everything with Dolph, Dolph is a good wrestler. He's always been a good wrestler, but he's always had his limitations. We talked to Pat Patterson weeks ago, and he's very high on Dolph Ziggler, and I understand why he's very high on Dolph Ziggler, because Dolph Ziggler has a lot of talent if he listens to the right people. And maybe he's finally listening to the right people. I don't know. With the brand extension, he's being put back in focus. We talked about 3 weeks ago when we had all this long discussion about Dolph Ziggler, and after he won the number one contendership, it's like, is he the right guy? Is this the right spot for Dolph Ziggler? You know, should he be in this position and stuff like that? And I just look at it, it's like, no, there's so much other talent out there that they could do stuff with. But they're relying on Dolph Ziggler because it's SummerSlam and they want an easy win for Dean Ambrose. Get that. What if Dolph wins? What happens if Dolph wins? Who does he challenge? I don't know. You were talking about how you get AJ Styles in the title picture. It's like, you really can't in 2 weeks. So there has to be something here. If, okay, you have Dolph win and then Dean challenges in 2 weeks for a rematch, then, you know, and Dean wins, or, like, I don't know. Like,
here's the thing. It's very hard, at least for me personally, because I like Dolph. I enjoy Dolph's work. I think it's fine. I'm not sure I'm crazy about him becoming Shawn Michaels, like I said, because it's like, first he was Billy Gunn, and then he's becoming Shawn Michaels. And it's like, Dolph has always been Dolph. He's always been fantastic in the ring. He's always been good on the mic. But I feel like there's just a part of Dolph that's missing. It's like, he's still almost two-dimensional to me. Because it's like, there's nothing beneath the surface of Dolph Ziggler. It's like, for the first time in a long time, we saw Dolph Ziggler give this really impassioned speech on SmackDown. And you finally got to glimpse the man under the character a little bit. Because I think there's been a lot of truth in these promos between Dolph and Dean.
Oh, there's been a lot. But using the phrases, you know, glass ceiling and the office not pushing me, getting behind me, it's like, no, you had your moment. We've talked about it. You had your boyhood moment.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. WWE got behind Dolph. They fully got behind Dolph, they put the title on him, and Dolph got hurt. And he got a really bad concussion. They tried to hold off as long as they could, but eventually he had to forfeit the title.
And then they got behind him again in 2014 when he was it wasn't John Cena winning, it was Dolph Ziggler surviving for Survivor Series. And they were behind him then, and it was just sort of like, we've already seen all the big highlight moments for Dolph Ziggler, so why does this one matter? Is it because it's a WWE title, not just the world title?
Well, and in that moment, then he opened his mouth.
Right. But in every other moment, it's like, we've already seen the Dolph Ziggler moment. It's like,
well, it's not even that we've seen it. It's that it's like, you know what's coming. Okay, so WWE puts the title on him. They get behind him. He's going to fall flat, because that seems to be the history with Dolph Ziggler. Is it's like, they get behind him, they build him up to this great moment, he gets the great moment, and then nothing.
If we thought the Sheamus title, the title reign was a disaster, Dolph Ziggler would be worse.
I mean, like I said, I like Dolph. I personally really do like Dolph. I enjoy him. It's just very hard for me to get behind him because it's like, you sit here and you know what's coming.
He was also the guy losing to Baron Corbin on the pre-show 3 months ago.
Yeah. There's that too.
That's the hardest problem. He's lost to Baron Corbin, who is humping Kalisto on SmackDown. Three months in a row on the pre-show.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, if they had done this really great story between Ambrose and Dolph, where they built it up, and they built it up, and Dolph finally gets that shot at Ambrose, and it's this really hot feud, which it is a hot feud, but it's like, if you just built that up, of Dolph, because this is basically Dolph trying to prove he is that good.
Right, but here's the thing, he should have been fighting and clawing his way back up the ladder. He got one win in one match to get it this title shot. That's it. He got that one big win. Then he beat Bray. Fine. Great. Whatever. But it was one win. And it's hard to buy someone when they only win the big match once to be put in this position, especially when it's for a WWE championship. You gotta win more than one.
I think it's like, it's just with Dolph, we've been disappointed too many times before. I think that's where a lot of people are at with him, is it's like, you personally like him, but you've been taken there and back too many times to only to be very disappointed. It doesn't make sense to me to take the title off Dean. You're crowning a new champion for Raw. You don't need to alter SmackDown. You go ahead. You have basically Dean. Because it's like, okay, so Dean beats Dolph. It sends Dolph down a downward spiral where it's like, oh, well, maybe I'm not as really good as I think I am. And then he can rebuild himself into something new. If that's what he wants to do.
And you can also do the rematch when Dolph turns heel. Simple, yeah. Easy, 2 week build. Dolph turns heel on SmackDown after coming up short, and you do the rematch because they like to do rematches when guys don't even earn a title shot, but he'll get the rematch even though he lost. Simple as that. It's easy WWE logical booking. It's what they do.
And the other factor in this is Bray Wyatt. As we keep saying, Bray Wyatt does not have a match. But Bray Wyatt has been very heavily involved in this feud. Basically playing devil's advocate for both Dean and Dolph.
He's also played the heel in a babyface match.
Yes. Although Bray's having family problems that we're not going to discuss.
The one time there's something going on with the Wyatt family, we're not discussing it on this show.
Bray, go get your son. So help me God, if he's wandering around like a lost puppy on Sunday, we are going to have problems. I will go get him.
That said, this is the one of two opportunities you can have to use Bray Wyatt on this show. You can have him cost Dean Ambrose, you can have him cost Dolph Ziggler. After watching SmackDown, I don't think he appears in this situation as I did going into SmackDown. I thought Bray would have played a big factor in this match. SmackDown happened. He had some stare down with Randy Orton. You can see they're building to that at some point.
Yeah.
Whether it's at Backlash or down the road. They're building to Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, which will be great.
Oh, it'll be fantastic. It'll be everything you could want and more. But yeah, I mean, it's like, you thought they were going to do Bray and Dolph. Apparently not. Because it's like, it would make sense that, you know, Dolph wins the title. Okay, well, Bray, you know, after he gets through Ambrose, Bray Wyatt can be his challenger, Dolph's face, Bray's heel. It's perfect. It works. You can go into the next pay-per-view after Backlash with it. It'll be fine. Now that's not the case. They're targeting Bray and Randy. I say Bray's going to show up in the Brock match and not here. That being said, Dean Ambrose wins. I see no logical reason to take that title off him. It's kind of like Sasha. He just won it, and he just defended it last month against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. So you're going to tell me that Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins can't get the job done against Dean Ambrose, but Dolph Ziggler can? No.
I'm going with Dean Ambrose to retain his title because I don't want to see Dolph Ziggler win the championship because I don't buy it. I can't buy Dolph as a world champion.
I want to buy Dolph, but I just can't.
I can't. I don't want to buy that stock. It's not going to be on my fantasy team. It just doesn't happen.
Who does have Dolph on their fantasy team?
Tim.
What? Ah.
So, there you go. Let's see. Video Game has Dolph. Magic 8-Ball has Dolph. So they believe in Dolph. So there you go. Final two matches on this show. This is the very long and extended version of the Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. As always, tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Linz Ward. It's a marathon. Thank you for sticking around with us. We're in, I don't know, hour 17. This is not like ESPN Fantasy where they went 28 hours straight. We're not doing 28 hours straight. We're talking about the first ever WWE Universal Championship, Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins. One, I'm kind of curious what the belt is actually going to look like.
I kind of like the one Shane was sporting. I love the amount of shots that have been fired over this one title. Like, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon have had a field day with this title, and they're going to continue to have a field day with it after it debuts. Like, it's thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for giving us so much fodder.
Daniel Bryan is in heaven. He's
loving this.
He's over the moon into the Milky Way with the shining stars and everything like that. The Interspecies Championship of the Milky Way. This is where you actually do need Stardust because it would fit.
Right? He was sitting there describing the tag team championships and he's like, yeah, you have to cross dimensions. I'm like, where is Stardust? Where is he? We need him. He's like, it's the perfect belt. And nothing.
So,
because he's not coming back.
So this is going to be a hell of a match.
I expect this to be the other show stealer. This should be epic. You have Rollins and Balor, I think, facing for the first time?
Probably.
Or, if not the first, one of the very few times they've probably ever stood across from each other. Because I'm not sure, I don't think Seth ever went to Japan in his indie days. He might have. And then, did Balor ever work for ROH?
I don't think so. No, because I don't think they've ever faced. I don't, unless they've worked house shows recently, which they may have, I don't think they've ever faced each other. Which is really surprising with the two of them, you know?
Well, it's like Owens and Ambrose. I don't think they'd ever faced before they got to WWE, or if they had, it was very limited.
It was very limited. As I'm doing a quick little search, just to kind of see. That said, this is going to be a hell of a match. first ever thing. It's going to be one of those great matches that you'll remember for a while, for like a very long time.
Well, I think this has match of the year expectancy to it. This, everybody expects this to be epic, given who's in it. I mean, it's Rollins and Balor. This should be pretty to watch. This should be very pretty to watch. We're going to see the Demon King, not Kane, King, on the pay-per-view and see what he can do.
So, Finn Balor has faced Seth Rollins in two tag matches last week.
That's it.
That's it. Tyler Black and Prince Devitt have never faced off.
This is going to be fun, y'all. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure they've been working together. I'm sure they've been sparring off and getting used to each other and feeling each other out so they know what each other can do. But yeah, it's always exciting when you get the first time matches with someone just to see what they're capable of and what they're willing to do, because I think they understand what this match means. This is basically kicking off the whole era of Raw, where they have to bring it home. They have to get it done. I expect the crowd to be hot for this. At least I hope to God.
Depending on what hour this is, yeah.
Well, depending on what hour it is, but it's like Balor's entrance alone should rev them up.
The Demon King should never have been on Monday Night Raw.
You know, if they had to do the Demon King, there were other ways they could have done it. With a video package, you could have had somebody dressed up as Balor, but it not actually be Balor. You could have not had the crazy fan get in the ring.
As we talked about earlier.
Or at least dressed him up as Finn Balor. But I agree. And it's like to have him there in person, just really, and to do, what killed me was the entrance. To do the whole entrance. It's like, okay, you want to do the Demon King, you want to have him there in person, fine. You have him screw with Seth, the lights go out, they come back up, and there's Finn Balor, full makeup, in the Demon King, and Seth Rollins runs.
But instead you did the whole entire entrance. You did the entire thing. So what they have to do on Sunday is something even more spectacular. I hope they realize this. Because you've already shot your load already? Too early? With him? By showing up on Monday Night Raw?
To give the Demon King away for free? Yeah, a little bit.
That was a mistake.
I mean, I get it. You want to introduce him to the TV audience, but I think it's something more of a tease. It should be more of a tease, because in NXT, it was something special. It only showed up for pay-per-views, partially because of their taping schedule. They couldn't paint him up and have him there for 4 weeks of TV because the paint would steadily chip off. So he can't wrestle, you know, three or four matches in the makeup every taping. So they decided to only do it for TakeOver, and it made it special.
Yeah, it did. It really made it special.
To do it on Monday Night Raw, it kind of took the specialness away, because that was the whole anticipation with Balor, was when he would come up, how long was it going to take him to show the demon? For us to see the demon.
You wanted to see someone drive the demon out of him. Seth Rollins questioned the demon, bam, the demon was there. It was like, there was a much better story you could have told.
Yeah, so I mean, much it's like, better. To see Balor win as Balor and not the demon, I think it would have been a little bit better. It's still going to be epic.
They cannot come out and have a dud. You're creating a new championship, so the match has to be epic. You cannot have a 2-star match. Can't even a 3-star match. You gotta have a 4-star plus match and deliver. You gotta make this intense. You gotta have many near falls. You have to make this match of the year, especially when you're creating a new championship. Because then everyone is gonna be talking about, this is the title to fight for. Look how hard these guys worked for it. You also want the awesome shining moment with a babyface being the first Universal Champion. Right?
Right.
But this is WWE. And they really love their Seth Rollins.
But Seth has time. Here, that's the thing. It's going to drive Seth mad if Finn Balor is the first ever Universal Champion. It will drive him insane. It will drive the feud. Now, that being said, Seth wins. Balor will still come for the title, but I don't think there will be that added element of a pissed off Seth Rollins, which always makes things so much more fun, because he either acts like a 5-year-old who had his favorite toy taken away, or he gets really, really, really vindictive and evil.
This is very true. So this can work out a couple of ways. Seth Rollins can win the belt. You can either go back to Finn Balor, or WWE can go back to the staple of, hey, Rowan lost the US title, but let's have him win a match. And then he's already being the number one contender for Clash of Champions, fighting Seth Rollins for the Universal title. It all depends on the mood Vince McMahon is. is in at that point. Finn Balor needs this. Losing to Seth Rollins this early won't help his career on the main roster. Started out with a bang, because you did the first night, and then you sort of slowed it down and not let him appear in wrestle on Raw. Should have been actually wrestling somewhere, kind of establishing him on Raw a little bit, besides just having the Demon show up. He should have been wrestling and winning 5-minute matches against Curtis Axel or whatever, just showcasing his moves so the general audience would know who he is. I think that's been a little bit of a mistake, because you're treating him like a main eventer, and he is a main eventer, but he should have been in a 5-minute match just showing off his ability.
No, I don't think it is a mistake, because you're treating him right. That's the thing. To have him go out there and show everything he can do before the pay-per-view, it's like, yeah, that's great, but it ruins the surprise of the pay-per-view, where it's not like it was before, where the audience has no idea who Finn Balor is. The audience thinks NXT does know who Finn Balor is.
Most of the audience does. It's not, I'm not saying not do everything, but establish his moves, his finishing moves as something.
But you have time to do that. They've been working on the coup de grace, which is the big one.
It is, but I'm saying it just. I would have liked to see him beat someone on Raw besides winning those two matches just one time, just to show the crowd a little bit. Because there was one week they could have done something more with him, and they didn't. It's just it's one of those things. That's
right.
That's just how I see it in my head, how I would have booked it. That and I wanted fantasy points. But that's besides the point.
Selfish.
Of course. It is at this point.
But all of that, I say Balor wins.
Finn Balor wins. I say Finn, you say Finn, video game says Finn. But Magic 8-Ball says Seth Rollins.
8-Ball's got to be difficult.
And then it brings us to the main event. I would assume the main event, unless the title match is the main event. But the inter-promotional showdown between the Beast Incarnate, the Conqueror, the Master in the, of the Proctagon, Brock Lesnar, taking on Viperville's Randy Orton.
Brock.
14 years in the making, this one. 14 years.
Brock.
I liked the build for this one.
I've liked the build. I thought the build was good. Having Randy Orton show up on Raw a week after the brand split was great. Having Brock Lesnar show up on SmackDown was great. This is how you need to do this. You're building it properly, but it's Brock.
The no enhancement needed line on the pay-per-view last month was perfect.
Oh god, that was hilarious.
Great.
But Brock. I mean, unless WWE is going to issue some kind of punishment for the USADA failures,
they're
not going to do, it's going to be Brock. Randy's not going to win.
Yeah, it's got to be Brock because they have more money in Brock.
And what you can do is after it's over, you can have Bray come out and pick the bones like he did last year.
Which he did last year. So here's the thing. If Brock's going to beat Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt's going to pick the bones of Randy Orton, that's not how SummerSlam ends. So this match won't be the main event if Bray's going to show up in it. If Bray's not showing up in it, this could end the show. Brock destroying Randy.
I don't think this closes the show. I think the Universal title will close the show.
I think so too.
Brock isn't going to want to wait for the main event.
He'll be semi,
but I think Brock's going to want to get out of there before the end of the show, so I would expect this to go on a little bit earlier than the main event.
This might be the 10 o'clock match, and then they do one of the quick buffer matches, and then the Universal title, possibly, since the show can go as long as they want.
Yeah.
Now, from a booking standpoint, Randy Orton should beat Brock Lesnar because Randy Orton's a weekly character, and so on and so forth, but Randy Orton's not going to be the guy to beat Brock Lesnar. Someone else is going to be the guy to beat Brock Lesnar and have it be meaningful. Because Randy Orton doesn't need to beat Brock Lesnar.
Bray Wyatt.
He would establish Bray Wyatt as awesome and stuff like that, but I don't think Bray Wyatt would even be the guy to beat Brock Lesnar. That's just saying.
Finn Balor?
Could be. What do you do with Brock after this? Who the hell knows? He's probably gone for a little bit of time. Randy's going to probably feud with Bray at some point. Brock wins. It's going to sound very anticlimactic when Brock wins, but that's what Brock does. And I'm more curious to see what they have in store for Brock going forward, because they need to do something important with Brock if they're going to keep having him win. Because him just showing up and beating guys like Dean Ambrose and Randy Orton is great, but you got to lead it to somewhere.
Yeah.
Which is, this is the one statement I want to make. Whoever's getting Brock at WrestleMania should not lose from this point forward, because you need a main eventer for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, and that guy needs to be on a roll for 9 months. It would make perfect sense, because you have a guy on a roll for 9 months, and then it's Brock Lesnar, the undefeatable beast, against this guy who's been on a roll for 9 months. bam, that's your story. Easy storytelling. Brock wins. Video game has Brock. 8-Ball has Randy Orton.
Why is the 8-Ball being difficult tonight?
Because it wants to be. It just wants to be.
Stupid 8-Ball. But I think we're done.
Yeah, I think we're done as well.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for sticking with us through the marathon rack. And I'm so sorry, because next week's going to be equally as long, because we have results next week. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. But this is where I plug, I guess, right?
Yes. Yeah, so plug away.
All right. So this has been another edition of the Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As mentioned earlier in this last hour and throughout the show, live streams. Friday night, around 7-ish, we'll do the NXT TakeOver live stream playthrough. Saturday at some point, probably like around 1 in the afternoon, we'll do the SummerSlam one. Check it all out. All the archives can be found at youtube.com/rackradioshow, where you can find 21 days of SummerSlam great matches. And all the simulations for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn and SummerSlam 2016. That's youtube.com/rockradioshow. Saturday night, midnight, this is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We will be talking SummerSlam, do the pick'em, we'll do all the weird and wacky news and all that fun stuff at CB Radio. Saturday midnight ish. CB Radio live on Facebook, Twitter.com, #BlameRob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio will cover SummerSlam at 11 p.m. Eastern. At WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter, WrestleTalkRadio.com to vote in the all-time greatest. Monday night's the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on the night after Monday Night Raw edition of SummerSlam. And we'll be back next Thursday night, as she mentioned, for another marathon edition of this show, as we'll recap NXT TakeOver Back to Brooklyn, NXT, and SummerSlam 2016. It's all going to go down next week on the show, and so much stuff. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Get us on Google, Stitcher, iTunes, search Rack Radio Show. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. As we mentioned, for the NXT TakeOver Pick'em, go to Facebook.com/Groups/Wild Talk Radio Network, which you can do for SummerSlam as well. Check out Matt Goldberg's blog at mbg1211.wordpress.com.
You good?
I think.
Okay. You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my work, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitter. And don't forget to check out our awesome sponsors, Gerwick.net, TNAAsylum.net, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/mvg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. You have been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
I don't need their blessing now. I don't need their invitation. Ain't no way to shut me down. I'll take this.